Let's take, if you will, take your Bible and go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Been talking about faith for several weeks, and I'm going to continue in that tonight. I want to try to bring something out tonight, another aspect of all of this, maybe show you something that you haven't seen prior. Maybe you have, and it's just a review. But Ephesians chapter 6, in the section here that talks about the armor of God, I want to bring a couple of three things out here and then move us over into Romans a little, maybe over into 1 John, maybe over to Luke if we have time to get over in there as well. But as we look here, it says that we are to put on the whole armor of God, verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I preached a message on that, I'm going to say 6 months ago. Still online out there, and I think it'd be worth your while to go look it up. A lot of information on that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. One thing we have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is that the conflicts and the things that we have going on today don't have an earthly face. It is invisible. What is behind these individuals and making and influencing the individuals that are around us, that's where our war takes place. We are warring against those influencers that are influencing people to move them into this chaotic situation that we have before us. It is a spiritual warfare. And so that's what this is kind of getting at here. The invisible, what you can't see is behind what you do see. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, it says, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I want to zero in on that one here tonight. Above all, it says. So it gives us three things in that first couple of verses there. And then it says, here's the big one. This, if you don't get anything else right, you got to get this right. I want you to notice the verbs that are used in those first three in 15, 16 there. 14 and 15 here. I want you to notice what it says here. It says that in the evil day, when the evil comes, we're to stand. And it says, having. It says that of all three of these different pieces of armor here. Having. What that tells me is, now we're talking about born-again believers now, okay? That's who this is written to. This is written to Christians. Written to believers. It says that we have some things already, okay? That we have these. The next thing it says about the shield of faith is that we're to take that up. We're to pick that up, okay? So we have some things, and we're to pick up some things. When are we supposed to pick those things up? In the evil day. In the evil day, when everything kind of falls apart around you, when things seem to be on fire from the darts of the wicked, the fiery darts, when everything seems to be on fire, you need to take up the shield, okay? I want you to notice verse 3 of these. It says, having your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and then in the Greek that is also attributed to the third part, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. As a born-again individual, you have these things, okay? The breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness. Right, that righteousness is justification. That's vertical and horizontal or relationally, okay? You do have the vertical piece. The relational part of that is dependent upon you, okay, to get your relationships right with each other. But the vertical part of that is what is in view in this passage right here. Once you understand that you're a sinner, need saving, repent of that sin, receive the gift of life, there is a righteousness that comes. There is that breastplate of righteousness is now in place. That vertical righteousness is there. It is yours. You have it. There's nothing more you have to do to get it. That is yours right here, right now, okay? It talks about having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What that's talking about there is understanding that you have peace with God. When you're saved, you have peace with God. God's not angry at you anymore. God's not mad at you anymore. You have peace with God. It is yours. You are eternally secure. You're saved from here on. You are at peace. You are at peace. There is no enmity with God at this time. Now, relationally, you can have distance in your relationship with God by not cultivating the relationship, letting sin build up, and having lack of communication. But this is talking about on the outset, eternal security is eternal security. You have peace with God. And the other piece of that is very vitally important as well. It says that you have the belt of truth, okay? Now, it may not be a whole bunch of truth that you have, but if you have enough truth to get saved, you got some truth, okay? There is some truth in your life if you have enough truth and heard enough truth to come into the kingdom of God. When you come into the kingdom of God, you got a belt of truth, okay? You have some truth there. It's in seed form. It is in seed form the day that you're saved, but it can be added to. You see, that's what the good part about truth is that you can add knowledge to that. And that's what we're supposed to be about. We're supposed to be adding knowledge to that belt as we move through this life, okay? Adding truth to truth and stacking truth up. We already have some truth, and we add to that truth. Then it says, in that fiery day, in the day when everything falls apart and everything gets on fire, it says that you take up the shield of faith. Now, in our pictures of that, we see this shield, and we have it faith written on it. Let me make it simple for you. The shield is faith, okay? Throw the shield away if you want to. It's talking about take up faith, all right? Above all, take up faith, okay? Take up faith is what it says. Now, in this passage right here, there is a marrying in here of two things. That shield of faith, or faith, and truth, okay? Faith and truth. And these are inseparably linked throughout Scripture. Faith and truth go together. They are tied together. Where one is, the other one must be. You have to see them together to operate the way that things need to operate. Okay? Faith and truth must be inseparable. They have to be. This idea that we have sometimes, now what is faith? Faith is acting like God is real, okay? Acting like God is real. If God is real and He is who He said He was, can do what He says He can do, if He is who He said He was, can do what He said He can do, then the next part of that is it is incumbent upon us to act like He's true. To act like what He says is true. If we act like He's real, then it must follow that we must act as though what He is telling us is truth. Where do we find out the truth? Well, He gives us truth. He gives us truth, more truth than we can handle, much more truth than we can handle it in any one bite, and He gives it to us in a book form, okay? That truth with that Holy Spirit of God that comes in. Now, this is where we are. When God comes in that seed form, that faith, that relationship that we come into with Him, that seed form that He gives us is that knowledge and that truth. That's grace that He gives us, okay? That's grace in its seed form in the early part of this salvation experience. And as we feed that grace that He's given us on that initial portion that He's given us there, we feed that with knowledge. We feed that grace with truth so that we begin to understand more of a full-orbed truth of the grace of God Okay? Where do we find that full orb truth? That's by looking into His Word, looking into the truth of His Word, which begins to build in us a grace fire, if you will, that can consume us from the inside out. It starts in seed form, and it grows as we learn, grows as we're engaged in His Word. And as we're engaged in that Word and gathering that knowledge, that truth expands. And at some point, we either have to agree or disagree with where that takes us. And therein lies the rub. The more we learn, the more we understand that we are or aren't engaged in or obeying and such as that. And this affects the relational side of things. Okay? At some point, a lot of folks just get to the place where they say, there's my line. I'm not going any further. I'm okay right here. I'm going to hang out right here. And when we do that, what we have done is we have divorced ourselves from this great big mountain of grace that God has for us. This great big mountain of grace that God has made available for us at the moment of salvation. Because when we look at it, we look at it as having that seed and growing in grace. But God, when He looks at it, He sees the completed and the finished thing. He sees the big dump truck full of grace that He dumped on day one. He's dumped these blessings into our life that we can draw against. And that's by faith. We draw against the grace that God has put into our lives. We draw against that by faith. Okay, I'll show you that in a minute. I'm getting some looks like, okay, what is this dude doing? So He deposits that, and it's deposited on day one. It's deposited on salvation day, but we can withdraw that. That can be withdrawn by faith, okay? So let's link together a couple of things here first off. Let's go to Luke chapter 5 for just a minute, and I want to link this idea of faith and truth, faith and truth in this. And also want to deal a little bit with feelings as we get into that, because faith is not a feeling, by the way. Sometimes we think it's a feeling, but listen to me, feelings are dictated by circumstances, all right? And faith doesn't flow like that. Faith doesn't flow according to the circumstance we're in. If it did, then the day that I felt good, I'd have a lot of faith. And the day I didn't feel good, I wouldn't have much. All right? And God made a deposit day one. All right? So I have faith. And that faith does not diminish over time. That faith does not dissipate, if you will. That faith was dumped there, placed there, even in seed form. And we found out a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the passage where we talked about faith as a grain of a mustard seed. And how if you tell this mulberry fig tree to get up and go put itself over in the water, it will go. And that only takes the faith as a grain of a mustard seed. And the disciples at that point said, what? Increase our faith. Increase our faith. And the Lord said, went through a whole bunch of things in there to tell them, you don't need more faith. You need to use what you got, because you've got plenty of faith. You got plenty of faith for whatever you're going to have a need of in your life. You don't need more faith. You got all you need right here. And you just need to use what you have. All right? And so we get over here to Luke chapter 5. And familiar passage here. Jesus comes to the shore. And he's at the sea. And his people have followed him out there. And when he gets there, Peter and the Zebedees are cleaning their nets and getting things all spruced up. They've been fishing. And he gets on a boat and pushes it off out away from the shore there, and he teaches these people. And so while they're cleaning up their stuff from the night, while they're cleaning up, he's preaching. And he's moving on with the teaching of all these different ones there. And so he finishes up teaching there, and then he turns around to Peter, and he tells him something here. He says, launch into the deep, verse 4, and let down your nets for a draught. Let down your nets for a catch. Okay? So Simon then answers him. And he tells him, basically, Jesus tells him, why don't you just throw your nets over on the other side of the boat there and you'll catch fish. They've been cleaning up. They've been fishing all night. Now, this is what he tells him. Peter says, Jesus, we've been fishing all night and we haven't caught anything. And so in his own sweet way, what he's done here is he's telling him, he's saying, I'm the fisherman, you're a carpenter. We've been fishing all night. We've been fishing when it's time to fish. At night, those fish come up to the surface where they can feed, and it's cool, and they drop their nets, and they catch the fish at night, you see. He says, we went out during fishing time. We fished all night in the places where we normally fish, and you know, they weren't out there just for their health. They weren't just out there to piddle around. We were fishing in the right places at the right time, doing the right things to be able to catch fish and bring them in. The moon was right. The tides were right. Everything's right. We wouldn't have been out here otherwise. We're out here doing what we're supposed to be doing. You're a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. If I need a table fixed, I'll come look for you. If you need fish, you come ask me. And I'll bring you some fish. This is kind of the answer that he gives him there. We've been all night. We hadn't caught no fish. Look at the next part of what he says. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Okay? This is death to feelings right here. Okay? This is truth that he's talking about because the word is the word of God. God has spoken and said, put your nets down over here and get ready to catch some fish. Peter says, it's an impossibility. There ain't no way. There's doubts in his mind. There's all kinds of things that are floating in there. He is just simply appeasing someone at this point. He's not believing that there's going to be anything taking place. But he says, nevertheless, at your word, I'll do what you asked. Now, this is a key about faith, folks. You see, there's faith in there, all right? It may not be much. It may not be much, but it's enough. And what he's not doing here, even in his just doing it as an appeasement here, because he acted on it, because he acted on this situation, look what happens next. The next thing is that the nets fill up, and start sinking the boats, two of them. They're dragging the boats down. Dragging the boats down because of the fish that come up in these nets. At a time when they ain't supposed to be catching no fish. In a place they're not supposed to be catching any fish. And yet, he gets a huge blessing out of this. I mean, I'm telling you what, him and the son Zebedee could have built him a condo out there beside the Sea of Galilee with the ship they'd done drug out of the nets that weren't supposed to be there with this. This is faith. This is how these things work. Faith accesses the grace of God. Faith is an accessor. It accesses the grace of God. Go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This is what I'm talking about, that grace deposit that is put there, and he's talking about you access that deposit by faith, okay? By acting like Jesus is real. By acting as that he is true, that what he says is true. You access the grace by virtue of acting like what he says is true. Now, with Peter, that was an act, okay? It was a sure enough act, but it was an action nonetheless. He acted like it was true, and it came to pass. That grace deposit was pulled down, you see, and activated by that faith the faith that he walked in all of that. Now look here. We access grace by faith, okay? Our works tell that we are believing what we're asking for. The works can't drag grace down. Works can't go into the grace pool and pull grace out. Works just show whether or not we are acting in faith. Okay. Romans 11:6. I'm cutting to the chase on a lot of this. It says, "And if by grace there is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise work is no more work." What we're saying right there is that you don't access grace by works, okay? You access grace by faith. And the works are an outworking of the faith. They show the faith, if you will, okay? So the works can't pull the grace down. The faith is what pulls the grace down, okay? And it don't take much. And it don't even have to be wholly believing with everything, as we look back at what Peter was involved with. All we have to understand is that God is true. He is truth, and we can stand on that truth. I can't understand it. I can't explain it. I can't do anything about any of that, but I can act on it. I can act on it as though it is true, even though I don't think it's going to come true with that. You understand what I'm saying with that? So you can't access grace by works. You access grace by faith, okay? And that faith is what, let's take a look, maybe you can chain reference these one day and go back through the chain. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 4. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Again, it's that faith that dips in there and brings that grace to bear in any situation. When things get to catch on fire, you see, in your life, when grace catches on fire in your life, faith reaches in, reaches up, takes up the shield of faith, and puts out the fire. Okay? Takes that up and puts out the fire by faith, believing that God is who he said he was and that he can do what he says he can do. That seed form becomes larger in our lives as we see more of what God puts out with his truth. We see the truth that grows that grace environment for us, but that grace environment is much larger than what we can see because we walk by faith, not by sight in that. And so it's much larger than all of that we can even think or even imagine. What does it say over in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16? "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The grace is already there before you need it. The grace is there waiting to be withdrawn, okay? The grace is there waiting to be accessed. And this is where I'm coming from with all of that. You have this humongous, all-sufficient grace sitting there waiting on you. You access that by faith. Faith is believing that God is real, acting that God is real, believing that the truth is truth, and acting on that truth, you see. And we access these things that we need in the evil day when things seem to be rough. We access that, and it's a supply that is there waiting on us. It was there day one when we got saved. Grace available to us for every need that we have, every day, every situation, from the moment we're saved till the time that he takes us home. It is there waiting on us. And I'm not talking about naming, claiming. I'm talking about faith making access to what is there, because, believe it or not, God didn't tell us we're all going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Okay? He does not guarantee us all to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Else, every hospital would be emptied. There would be no cemetery. None of these things would take place. These are not promises that God has given us. We have access for the needs that we have in our life, and He is a need-meeting God. And that grace pool is large, accessed by faith, and then works prove that we are in all the way on this thing. I got about 100 things I could say about that, but my time has come to an end. We may pick up with some of that again next week and round out some of the wrinkles in your forehead as we move through on this faith issue. Faith is such a big thing, and so many different facets of it, and I hope that maybe you can see a few more of them as we walk through this faith study from here out, okay? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, author and finisher from the beginning to the end, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and despised the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Amen. So, it's him. Act like he's real. He is real. Act like it's true. It is true. Work these things out in your life. Take a step. Be obedient to what he calls us to do. And in the day of trouble, look to him. Look no further. That faith, as a grain of a mustard seed, is enough to pull down the sufficiency of grace that you need for that hour, whatever that hour brings. He's sufficient. Amen? We'll close with that. Thoughts, comments, or complaints as we stand for prayer?